Bless you your way. We thank you, Messiah's wonderful name, Yahshua the Lamb. We bless you for this assembly today, that we may assemble in your name and to extol your name above the heights of the heavens, and to call upon you with surety of heart, that we know you, Father, your will, your commands, your laws, the statutes, the ordinance, and the judgment of this mighty Yahweh that created all things. I bless you, Father, that you're not some elusive being or some diviner. You are the only one, for you are the creator of all things. There is no other beside you. You're the only true Yahweh, the Elohim of all creations. I bless you today. And let your spirit rest upon your truth. Let it be ministered in a way that the hearts may rejoice and delight to know that you have fed them food that is convenient to them. We bless you in your Yahshua's name. We thank you for that death on the cross. We bless you, Father. To give us all strength today, that we may obey you in all things. Do that which is righteous and pleasing before you. We ask it in the mighty name of your Yahshua Messiah. We thank you, Yahweh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yahweh bless you all. You may be seated. What a wonderful thing it is to know him and to know of his mighty power of deliverance that breaks every shackle and bondage of the powers of darkness. One time our minds were consumed with dark illusions. We did the things that our flesh, our imaginations, our carnal mind that was enmity against Yahweh. We followed the laws and the instructions of our natural mind. And since Messiah has come and transformed us, then we ought to have the mind that desires to please the Father above all things. In this hour there are so many gods, and not one possess any authority or any stronghold in the hearts of the people. There is only one true Creator, and his name is Yahweh. David said, and he commanded us, Yahweh has not spoken a word that we can delete that or take it for granted. But David declared that Yahweh has commanded us that we diligently keep all of his precepts, not some of what we chose to keep. But that is the command and the law of Yahweh, that we keep all of his precepts in everything that he has commanded. Here a little, there a little, precept upon precept. It is all valuable unto the mighty King. Yahweh has commanded us to keep all of his precepts. What you have today is a mindset that rejects the profound truths of the Father that will bring a man prostrate before him, that he will truly worship him. So man is going about establishing his own righteousness by his own laws that he has conspired against the laws of Yahweh, and he has established them by his own rituals and tradition by way of denominations. For they all have different laws and bylaws. But they do not have the laws of Yahweh, and the strength of their foundation is not predicated or built upon the laws of Yahweh. I want to establish something today in your hearts. I pray that Yahweh establish this in your mind. I do want to go to Scripture. I want to establish these things before I go farther. It says in Psalms 111:7. I want to establish the foundational powers or the power of the commandments of Yahweh. It is either the truth or it's either a lie. Psalms 111:7. David declared unto Yahweh that the works of his hands are verity. They are sure works. No one can do the things that Yahweh has done. He created man, the earth, and the heavens. He caused the seas to rise up out of the depth of the earth. And he filled it with every kind of thing that there is. Man, with all of his great wisdom, cannot create one thing at all. So he declared by the unction of Yahweh that the works of his hand, they are sure works. They are established works. And he said, and by judgment as well, or they are sure works of judgment. And he declares this, all, not some, but he declares that all his commandments are sure. He did not declare that some of his commandments are sure, but David declared that all of your commandments are sure. They are confirmed. They will nourish a man's soul. They are the pillars of your strength, his commandments. That is the sure pillar of the commandments of Almighty Yahweh, that they are all sure. They are not partial sure, but he said that all of thy commandments are sure. They are confirmed by the Father. You cannot reject that and think that you will go into the presence of Almighty Yahweh. So that is the foundational pillar, or one of the pillars of the commandments of Yahweh. They are all sure. They are all confirmed. They are all firm commandments. You cannot diminish, take, or add to one of them. So that is the pillar of strength concerning the commandments of Yahweh. David declares in Psalms 119, verse 86, do you believe that all of his commandments are sure? Do you believe that all of the commandments of Yahweh are sure? They are confirmed. David declares here in Psalms 119, verse 86, he says, all thy commandments are faithful. They are steadfast. They cannot be moved. You cannot take and add to the commandments of Yahweh. He did not say that nine of them or seven, but he declared that all of thy commandments are faithful. If one is unfaithful, then the others are unfaithful as well. So all of his commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully, help thou me. Because I keep your commandments, then the wicked come against me wrongfully. I know that your commandments are faithful. We must understand that the works that Yahweh has done, they are works of faith. He has done them in faith, established on his name. So not some of his commandments, but they all are faithful. You believe that if a man teaches his sons and daughters to bow down before other gods, that that curse will not be visited upon the third and the fourth generation? That is what Yahweh declares. He said, I will visit their iniquity of the fathers upon the third and fourth generation of their children, for they have rejected all the commandments of Yahweh. Two sure pillars. First of all, it is a sure commandment. His commandments are faithful. When a man understands the validity of the commandments of Yahweh, then his soul will do this. Psalms 119, verse 143. David declared that trouble and anguish has taken hold of me. Yet thy commandments are my delight. It is the object of delight. I take enjoyment in obeying and keeping the commandments of Almighty Yahweh. Why? Because they are, first of all, they are sure and they are faithful laws of the Father. He leads us in all faithfulness. He leads us with a sure hope. He cannot give us a law, a commandment, that there is no surety there. There is verity in the commandments of Almighty Yahweh, and His judgment is a true thing. Do we believe that there shall be a judgment of Almighty Yahweh? There shall be a judgment. And His commandments are sure, and they are faithful. We began to understand the purity of this faithfulness of Yahweh. We began to take delight in the commandments of Yahweh. Men do not take delight in Yahweh's commandments. They don't love the laws of Yahweh because we are a lawless and a lawlessness generation. We like to do things according to our own ways, but not according to structure. Yahweh is one of structure because on the first day, even to the seventh day, He done all things in structure. And on the Sabbath, on the seventh day, He rested. So He is a king of structure. His kingdom is one of laws and structure. David declares this in Psalms 119, verse 151. I believe this. His commandments are sure, they're faithful. We that are saints of Yahweh, we delight in the commandments of Yahweh. He said, Thou art near, O Yahweh. You're near me. And all Thy commandments are truth. They are firm. They are reliable. They are faithful. That is what truth is. It is firm. You can depend upon it. It has reliability there. So all of His commandments are truth. They are sure. They are faithful. And they are truth. How can we reject the commandments of this mighty Creator that we think we believe in, when we don't believe that His commandments are sure, that they are faithful, and that they are commandments of truth? Psalms 119, verse 172, we're establishing the pillars of the commandments of Almighty Yahweh. Sure, faithful, they're full of truth. He says in Psalms 119, verse 172, David declares that my tongue shall speak of Thy words. For all Thy commandments are righteous. And to say that one is unrighteous, then they all are unrighteous. Men will say that that is New Testament. Then why Old Testament? Why do they go to the Psalms for comforting the bereaved or the sick or those that are going through cataclysmic mayhem? Why do they go to the Old Covenant and draw out the blessings of Abraham and all those blessings? And yet they say the commandments of Yahweh, they are not righteous. And David declared that all of them are righteous. They are all sure. They are all faithful, they are all truth, and they are all righteousness. Is that not, are these not the characteristics of Yahweh? Is He not faithful? Is He not truthful, or is He a liar? Is He not sure of whom He is? He is so sure of whom He is that He commands us. He demands us to obey it. It is commanded unto us to obey all the precepts of Yahweh with diligence. And that is that our hearts are applied to those things and we do those things without hesitation. We don't question what He asks or commands us to do. We do it because He is sure of whom He is. And as we obey Him, we find life in the commandments of Almighty Yahweh. They are sure, they are faithful, they are full of truth, they are righteous. When a man understands these laws, he begins to delight in them. It is one thing that the commandments of Yahweh, they are not. They are not. I will show you why men do not take delight in these commandments. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. 1 Yohanah. Chapter 5 and verse 3. The commandments of Yahweh are not this. He declares, for this is the love of Yahweh. That is simple as that. This is the love of Yahweh. This is a man showing his love toward Yahweh and his fellow men. For this is the love of Yahweh, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. They are not heavy. They are not burdensome. They are not vexating. They do not vexate a soul. But they are good to man's soul. They help to man's navel. It is one thing that his commandments are not. He said that the commandments, not a command, but the commandments of Yahweh, his commandments are not grievous unto us. When a man began to find grievousness in the commands of Yahweh, he is a very wicked, sadistic, vile, depraved, corrupt man. Scripture will verify that statement that I just made. We're not going to play with Yahweh or play with Scripture. We're going to obey all that he commands us to do, and the commandments of Yahweh are not grievous. They are not legalistic, but yet they are binding to the house of Yahweh. Why? Because they are sure, they are faithful, they are truthful, and they are righteous. It is either that these characteristics of the commandments of Yahweh are truth, or it is a predicated lie by the powers of darkness and hell, and David was deceived, and that is the case, then you better get on your face somehow and find this Creator that shall judge every man. And it's not according or by your religious specs at all. But we're going to be judged according to his laws and his commandments. You're looking for some other kind of judgment because of your corrupt works. It takes faith to do the works of Yahweh. And the works of Yahweh are to obey him, to keep his commandments, his laws, his precepts, and to do them diligently. When a man does something diligently, he is very meticulous as to how he does that. He wants to make sure that it is right. He doesn't want to cause any error to be a part of that thing. And so we can't say we love him, for this is the, specifically, the love of Yahweh, that we keep his commandments. When a man keep his commandments, he says unto him, they're not grievous unto me, Father. When something is grievous, it is vexating, it is heavy. You cannot bear it. It brings no delight to your heart. It is either his commandments are a delight to us, or they are not a delight to us. It's either all 10 of them cause our hearts to rejoice in the faith, or none of them causes you to rejoice. You can't reject one of them. You can't reject two. You can't hold fast to four. He said all of his commandments are sure. He said all of his commandments are faithful. He said all of his commandments are truthful. He said all of his commandments are righteous. Why? Because they are the express personality of Almighty Yahweh. And you can't reject them. You can't. And because we have his love and our love toward him, what he commands us to do is not grievous. We don't say to the Father, this is so heavy. It is so burdensome, I can't bear it. Why do you put this burden upon me? Messiah said, for his yoke is easy and his burden is light. First of all, we must learn of him. We haven't learned of him. We've learned traditions, but we have not learned of him. For his burden is easy and his yoke is light. It's not a heavy yoke. And so the commandments of Yahweh, they are not grievous. They're grievous because of iniquity and the enmity of a man's flesh against the pure righteous laws of Almighty Yahweh. That is why David declares in Psalms 119, verses 126 and 127, I believe this, I trust this truth. This is scripture, because it deals with the commands, the laws of Yahweh. David declares, Psalms 119, verse 126. He said, now Yahweh, he's speaking to the Father. He said, it is time for thee. Do you understand that? He said, it is time for thee. It is your time, Yahweh, to work. It's time for you to work now. Why? They have made void thy law. Is not that the nature of this nation and the people oppressed? Now is time for Yahweh to work. For they have made void, they have made empty the law of Yahweh. They have said it has no relevance. It has no power or strength in this hour. And yet his laws are his characteristic. And so David began to cry, it is time for you to work. Men have done their thing. And yet it has not produced anything at all. A voidness in the law. He said, now Yahweh, it is time for you to work. And that is why the very trial shall try us. Because Yahweh is going to work in that hour. In a very profound way as never before. Unless he does that, then no natural man shall be saved. None whatsoever. Well, how will the time be shortened? It will still be 24 hours in a day. The reason it is because there is such a delight in the suffering that you suffer for the name's sake of Yahweh, that you will not dishonor his name. You will not deny the name of the Father. And we all have been guilty of that because we have not been trained as a proper soldier of the army of Yahweh. We hear the soldiers of America talking about the Geneva Convention. They have been mistreating the Iraqi soldiers. And they say we did not understand that there were certain laws that govern us when there are prisons of foreign wars. So we did know, and you did not know. Now Yahweh is going to do the work. As David declared, it is time for thee, Yahweh, to work. For they have made void the law. Every denomination today has made void the law of Yahweh. It is not applicable unto them. It is not applicable. So they destroy it with their traditions, their rituals, and their carnal practices that come by way of rebellious witchcraft, sedition, that they will erase the very name of the Father, that they all call upon the same mystic form as the Buddhists, as the Muslims, and all other religions that they call upon God, and there is no surety as to the one that you serve. His name is Yahweh. That is the surety of anyone's identity, that they have a name. Verse 127. David says, therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine silver or fine gold. Men do not love the commandments of Yahweh above gold today. They love the filthy lucres because men will say that is some form of legalism. Yahweh is legal. His identity is legal. He is not an alien or an illegal person. He has a right to this earth, for it is his footstool. We are the servants of Yahweh, and we must obey him.
So he must govern us by his commands and his laws that we will recognize the one that has done that.
Do you not realize to him his name is so important that he commanded us not to take it in vain? I'm establishing the pillars of the commandments of Yahweh. For I want to emphasize one commandment today. I must establish the pillars first. In order to build any house, you must go down into the earth. And we are earthen vessels. So he must go down into your earthen heart. Because your earthen heart cares about the things of this life. And the things of natural man. It doesn't care about the things that are spiritual. And so you must go down, you must dig the deep footing. So you may begin to lay down the pillars for the foundation. That you will be able to stand against the very wiles and the destructive hand of the power of darkness, Satan, when he comes forth, as scripture says, he shall do and show forth great signs. And miracles he shall perform. And if we were not sealed by the Spirit, by the law of Yahweh, he would even deceive your hearts. We are deceived every day. We walk in our carnality. Reject the truths of Yahweh. We do things that we perceive are right, and yet they are wrong. They never bring forth any delight. David declares that your commandments are my delights. He says in verse 128, therefore, I esteem all, not some. He said, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. I hate every false way. I esteem all the precepts of Yahweh concerning the living to be right. Well, what is the living? Well, His Word is the living Word. Yahweh cannot lie, for He commands us not to lie. And so David say, I esteem those things. I exalt them very highly in my life. For they have preeminence over my natural feeling or my natural conscience. For there's a law that worketh inwardly that bringeth the word of faith alive. And its laws are the laws of faith. It makes us trust and believe Him that He is a righteous judge. He will not speak things to us in untruthfulness. And for us to say that two of the commandments are untrue, for something is wrong with this generation of people. 99.9% of this nation will not keep the Shabbat. They gather in their whorehouses, their ill-repute, sodomizing pits. They desecrate the very laws of Yahweh to appease flesh. And men say, well, these are the ones that are of the kingdom. That cannot be so, because if it is, then Yahweh is a liar. When a man hears Yahweh's truth, he cannot harden his heart. And that is the thing that most people, as we have been guilty of, we harden our hearts. We were not open. We did not judge things according to the Spirit of Yahweh. For the Spirit that was in us was according to tradition and laws of denominations. It was not according to the law of Yahweh, for He commands us to try the Spirit and see if that Spirit breaks the laws of Yahweh. For that is one of the first tasks of Messiah. Think not that I have come to destroy the laws or the prophets, but I came to make known unto you the verity or the surety of the laws that the prophets prophesize by that spirit of the law. It had to be a righteous spirit in them for them to prophesy and to speak. They could not be lawless. Now there were those that were vain, And they did not speak according to the will of Yahweh, and yet they desecrated the laws of Yahweh. Now it's either that the laws of Yahweh are sure, they are faithful, they are full of truth and righteousness, and we take delight in them, or it's either that we don't have the love of Yahweh in us, and they are very grievous unto us. They're very grievous. For this is the love of Yahweh. This is His love. That the commandments of Yahweh, as far as we can see, and we know by the leading of the Spirit, for His commandments are not grievous unto us. And so this is a generation that has never had love for Yahweh. They love Him with their lips. They speak, "I love God." Yet He said their hearts are far. What a statement. We are such an ignorant generation. We do not take time to literally grasp the simple things. A three-letter word like that, F-A-R, means far. So distant that it's almost impossible for one to touch the heart of the Father. I was speaking one day, I think, to Deacon Benny. I said, I was there in Kenya. That is not like being in California. California is a far distance from Jefferson, South Carolina. But Kenya was far away. That you were unattached, yet you had no sense of where America was. In California, I have a sense of where Jefferson is. And from California to Jefferson, I can get back if I have to walk. I can walk that distance. But to get from Kenya to America, that is a far distance. He said, they love me with their lips. They honor me with their tongues. They speak raven review of me. Yet their hearts are far from me. When a man's heart is in the hand of Yahweh, He shows him that law by keeping His commandments. And they will not be grievous. He will love the Father. And He will take joy in what Yahweh says to him. I want to deal with this commandment. The third one. I will read it the way it is in the text you have. It says, in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 11. And then I will read it the proper translation of how it ought to be read. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 11. It says, thou shalt. That is an affirmation there. There is this confirms. Thou shalt not take, use the name. It established that there is a precise name, the name of. Well, who is the name of? The name of the Lord, thy God, in vain. Now, I want to emphasize the vainness or taking His name in vain. For the law will not hold them or him guiltless that taketh His name in vain. Do you hear that, saints? I will read it the proper way. For thou shalt not take the name of Yahweh, thy Father, in vain. For Yahweh will not hold him guiltless that taketh His name in vain. Now, I know that we have been taught that if one says God or and associate the word damn or I hate God, that that is literally taking the name. But He said you should not take the name of Almighty Yahweh in vain. Now, we must establish the definition of vanity of what vain is. I want to read from one of the most respectable dictionaries in the world, the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. Don't tell me that you have the ability to define words.
You don't understand the etymology or the origin of the word and the reason that the word was applied to a certain thing to bring forth an emphasis of understanding of what that thing is trying to convey. So we will go to the Merriam-Webster. Men of scholarly minds that have searched, have traveled the world abroad to understand the origin, the suffix, and the prefix of a word. I want to read that. The word vain. We shall not take his name in vain. We shall not take Yahweh's name in vain. When a man takes his name in vain, Yahweh say, you are not guiltless. You are guilty of sinning against me. It is not a play matter in this hour. It is not because of what you have learned or what you have perceived it to be. The Father has a name. That his name is so important unto him that he commanded man, just don't use it in vain. Now let us establish the meaning of vain. All right? I will read it. Vain. The function is an adjective. It is Middle English, from Middle French, from Latin, simply meaning empty. Definition one. To have no real value. Idle and worthless. So the phrase or the title Lord of God is not worthless. In every religious practice they use that. He said to say my name is worthless. It has no value at all. Archaic. And that is the antiquated or the old fashioned etymology of the word. It means this. It is foolish and silly. To say that the name of Yahweh is foolish. To say that his name is silly. What man will say to his wife that your name is a foolish name? Or will the wife retort and say your name is very silly? Now that is the word vain. I am expressing this. That you understand the depth of this law that Yahweh has commanded us. Don't take his name in vain, for you will not be guiltless before him. Synonym, word that has the same meaning, spelled differently. It is futile, serve as no useful purpose at all. And to say that the name of Yahweh has no useful purpose, what a tragedy. What a mindset in this world and in this nation to say that our Father has no name at all. His name is very important unto him. It is a vital aspect of who he is. His name. To be in an irreverent or blasphemous manner, it is irrelevant. It has no purpose. It has no validity to it. And then they quote what Scripture says. I'll read it as it says, in vain. This is in the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. To no end, without success or result, in an irreverent or blasphemous manner, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Deuteronomy 5 and 11. Now that is in the Merriam Dictionary. To say that his name is irrelevant. There's no relevance to his name. It is irrelevant. To say it is a blasphemous name. We don't realize how we have been trained and taught so improperly. And now as David said, Yahweh, now this is the time that you must do the work. It is the truth whether you concur or receive it or not. He says here, vain, nugatory. Now I know you don't know what that means because I did not. So I had to define what that means. I will show you samples of a nugatory type of a statement. It's a osios, idle, empty, hollow meaning, being without worth or significance. So when we take his name in vain, we say it is worthless, it has no significance, it has no value, it is not relevant in the scheme of things. How can that be? The one that sent his son, you say you know the son's name, Jesus and Jesus, and yet you don't know the one that sent him. And anyone can lay claim to that doctrine. Any god of the spear can lay claim to that doctrine. He has a name. And his name is vitally important unto him, whereby he commands us not to take it in vain. You say my name is worthless? And until Israel, the house of Israel, call upon that name, they will walk in darkness. They know the name, but they have replaced it. Vain implies either absolute or relative absence of value. It has no value at all. What son, as a child, I wanted to know my father's name. On my birth certificate, it says Mother Bithynia Roberts. And on my father's name, it says Unknown. He has no name. So you tell me, as a child, it was not a valuable thing for me to understand, to know that I could associate the one that had birthed me with a name. It was vitally important. And to say that his name is not important, it is a farce. It is a deception. For his name is very valuable. It is a very important name, saints. His name is very valuable to us. For we shall be sealed with that name written in our foreheads. And that shall be the name of strength in our minds when the forces of hell are leashed against the inhabitants of this earth. That we have a delight in the will of Yahweh. We know the one that we serve. Nugatory suggests triviality and insignificant. Now that's what nugatory vainness is. It is trivial. It is insignificant. You tell me the name of the Father is insignificant? How significant is the Son's name? It is as significant as the Father's name. You can't deny one or the other. And to say that the Father's name is insignificant, then the name of the Son is of equal value. Now that is what nugatory vanity is. It suggests that something is trivial. It is insignificant. It gives an example. A monarch with nugatory power. That's just like the Queen of England. She just sits there with power, but she has no power. And it's just a vain thing. It is the prime minister that has the power. She is a nugatory type of a vain symbol head of a nation. That's all she is, with no power. It gives us an example of Oshishas, means suggests that something serves no purpose. So you tell me that he gives us a commandment that we should not take his name in vain, and yet it serves no purpose, then he is one of vanity. It serves as no purpose. And is either an encumbrance or superfluity. My, what a statement. You tell me the name of Yahweh is a superfluity, naughtiness, and wickedness. When I read that, I went to Scripture. I want to read this. I went to James chapter 1, verse 21. When I saw that definition of vanity, superfluity, James commanded unto the house of Israel, he said, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness with superfluity. When something is superfluity, it means that it is unnecessary. You don't really need it. with all of our superfluity of clothing and things, you really don't need those things. So he said, you lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, of wickedness, of depravity. You lay that aside, and he said, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Now that is what is able to save your soul, the engrafted word of Almighty Yahweh. So you lay aside all of your filthiness with superfluity. The things that are unnecessary for your life, you really don't need them. That is what superfluity is. It brings about a lasciviousness and a concupiscence, a lust that is uncontrollable. So you associate the name of Yahweh that is something unnecessary. You that are adults and understand the importance of having a father, you think that it was unnecessary not to know your father. Some of us were shattered because we didn't know him. Some of us suffer great pains because we did not. I know I did. It was a tremendous burden on my heart as a young lad knowing that I didn't have a father. When I would look at my birth certificate trying to find out who he was, I would always find that name unknown. And I did that. That's the truth. I have my birth certificate there. And it says, father unknown. Mother is known, but father is unknown. And so that was a burden on my heart. I wanted to know who my father was. He had to have a name because my mother had one. A femme with a single osiasis seen, it is idle, suggests being incapable of worthwhile use or effort. You say that the name of Yahweh is a worthless name? It is not even worthwhile. It's empty and hollow. Suggests a deceiving lack of real substance or soundness or genuineness. Now that's the definition of the word vain. And you can see every one of those categories apply to his name. If your heart is open to the simple truth of Yahweh, you can see how that this nation of the world, and we are all guilty of that, that his name was irrelevant, it was worthless, we didn't want to find out what his name was, we had no desire, we had no urging in our hearts. Why? Because we have been trained as children to obey a certain format. And now all of a sudden Yahweh begins to do the works. He has not relied upon your vanity or your vainness or the vainness of your mind. When something is vain, it has no purpose. Thou shalt not take the name of Yahweh, thy father. He said, don't take my name and say that you are ashamed of it before this vile, wicked world. And you are ashamed to call my name. You deny me before men. He is going to deny you. There's a difference when a man doesn't understand this truth. But when a man hears it, he can't shut his heart and say it's not so, it's pagan. No, this religious practice today in the name of Jesus, Jesus, it is pagan. And that's the truth. And we have all practiced pagan rituals in your Christmases and all of your practices. You can say no, but you have. You have practiced pagan things. You have done pagan rituals. You have participated in pagan things. Sure you have. And to say you haven't, you are a deceiver and your heart is deceived. I have practiced those things, and certainly you have as well. You were just like Israel. You did the same kind of pagan things that they did. When your heart was sorrowful for a man, you went to Cubic. You went to pray, or you wanted a man to satisfy your yearnings or your desires. Same thing with the woman. And to say we haven't, then we are deceivers. It's one thing that when you understand the truth of our mess and what we have done, it gives us power of understanding. Understanding is a principal thing of Yahweh, that we have the ability to shun those things and to cast them aside and to cast them out of our minds. When we don't have knowledge of those things, then they have power to take strength in our minds and to rule and to govern us according to its will. And now we've come to the knowledge or grown in the fullness of the knowledge of our Father. And He lays out His truths unto us in a way that is easy and is not grievous unto us, because it is our love reciprocated unto Him, because we know that He is guiding us. What a statement. That our Father will guide every step. Go with us hand in hand. There's nothing like an unsure son with the father grabbing his hand. There's nothing like an unsure son with the father grabbing his hand and saying, come on, son, you'll be all right. He says the protection of his father. There is surety there. He trusts his father. He has faith in his daddy. He has no doubt at all that his father is going to do the very right thing for him. And he doesn't have to walk in that fear. An empty attempt at reconciliation, a hollow victory. To say that his name is not a victorious name, we say that it is a hollow thing to know the name of Almighty Yahweh. That is not so. Now I will show you in Scripture as I move into this vanity and show you what it does. I will show you the strength of vanity. I will show you why men will take his name in vain. It is in Scripture. I say to you all that are sitting here, and those that will hear this on the broadcast, we better get up out of our slothfulness and our laziness. It's going to destroy you into the way of darkness. You're going to die in your corrupt, wicked ways. And that's it. We must begin to take important time to offer unto Him that sacrifice of thankfulness, that He grant us breath in our bodies to find out His mandates for our lives. You see, what this wicked, whorish world tells everyone, that God got a plan for your life. Now that's the catchphrase today. There's only one plan Yahweh has for your life, that is to obey Him in all things. That is the plan that the Father has for your life. Now why is it that men walk in their vanity and they take the name of Yahweh in vain? And I want to read this from Scripture. It says in Psalms chapter 139. And there's one particular verse here I want to read. Psalms 139 verse 20. It says, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thy enemies take thy name in vain. Say what you will. When a man takes the name of Yahweh in vain, he is an enemy of the Father. I don't care what their corrupt religious practices teach them. He said the wicked, they speak valiantly against thee. They speak wickedly against you. Well, I don't see no reason for that name. It has no purpose. Well, I know Him as Lord. That's what they do. That is the truth. They're wicked men, and they are the enemies of Yahweh. For they take His name in vain. They are ashamed of it. Don't tell me you're afraid of Yahweh. When a man is afraid of another man, he identifies his friend. Benny Honeycutt is my friend. James Ephraim, that's my friend. You make mention of that name and they will say, oh, that's my friend. I know Jeremy Martin, he is my friend. We'll read it again. These are not Pastor Robert's words, but they come by the unction of the Spirit. That's how these words come. For they speak against thee. Now how do I know he's talking about Yahweh? Read verse 1 of the same chapter. Yahweh, thou hast searched me and known me. He says your enemies now, for they speak against thee wickedly. Maliciously. Their malice in their heart. They get angry when they hear that name. Father, forgive me of my wickedness. Cleanse me. Their hearts are filled with rage.
could they hear that name?
And that is the truth. You can take this city preaching the nation. Oh, they will reason it according to their theology. But that's a simple statement. This is a common man's salvation. And I will deal with the precepts of this, line upon line, here a little, and there a little. I will go in the old and the new book of the covenant of Yahweh, which is the same. For they speak against thee, Yahweh, wickedly. How do I know it's him? Verse 19. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O Yahweh. Depart from me, therefore, ye sinful men. David had enough understanding to say, get away. For I know when the hand of Yahweh comes down upon them, it's going to destroy the wicked. And I do not want to touch the unclean things of this earth, of the wicked. I don't want to be a part of this great judgment of Yahweh. For they speak against not me. Not me, what David said. He said, they speak against you. That's an archaic word, the thee. They speak against you wickedly. The tongues are uncontrollable. They're malicious. Their hearts are so depraved, vile. They don't care what they say against his name. They don't care how they speak against it. They don't care. He said, and thine enemies. Thine enemies, is that not plural there? He said, not thine enemy, which is Shaltan. But the servants of Shaltan are the enemies of Yahweh. He said, thy enemies take thy name in vain. They say it's worthless. It has no value. To hell with that name. I will not speak it. It is not a delight to my heart. It doesn't cause me to rejoice. What a sweet name. Every time I hear the name of Yahweh, it causes my inward parts to rejoice. It causes life to rise in my soul, for I am not an enemy of Yahweh. And if man will simply search Scripture, give Yahweh a little time, he will know what the Spirit, the Ruah of Yahweh, is saying in this hour. It is Yahweh that is going to do the work, as he did in the days of Messiah. He did the works in that body of clay. And we are all bodies of clay, that he is going to do the work in these earthen vessels. He ordained it to be that way, and it shall be that way until we get into the kingdom. And there shall be a transforming of the mind, the new body, for we will be like Messiah. So he has not left us to our own devices. That's why we walked in destruction, walked in sin, because we've been left to our own devices and done things our way. And he's not going to do that again. I want to show you the emphasis of vanity. Messiah says in Matthithia, Matthew chapter 6, when we began reading at verse 7, I do believe that in the text you are reading from, it is written in red ink. And we believe that these are the words that uttered from the voice of Messiah. The things that he spoke, he had heard his father speak those things. So he did not come with his own inclination. He came by the command and the direction of Yahweh. Scripture says, when they ask him, how do we get into that place to pray in the Spirit? Now that is what this is concerning. Because they had seen those Pharisees and scribes pray their long prayers. And Messiah said, now this is how you do that. Matthew chapter 6 verse 7. But when ye pray, he said, use not vain repetition. What a profound thing. He said, don't use vain repetition. Oh, bless me, I need you. He said, don't pray that way. That is what this whore prays today. That is what the catechism teaches this Roman Jezebel. With their repentance, their beads, just like Islamic, and they all call upon God. He said, make sure you don't pray with vain repetition. Why? Because when you do that, you truly don't trust Yahweh. You pray for the sick to be healed in Messiah's name. Thou art healer, you leave it be. And let our faith be accordingly or so. But don't pray with vanity. Don't pray with an empty purpose. Don't even believe in what you're doing. Yet you do it because of tradition and feelings. He said, don't do it like that. He said, as the heathens now, that's how they pray. Come on down, Lord. Come on down, Lord. Lordy, Lord, Lord. Come on down. Come on down. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. He said, don't pray like the heathens. And we have all been heathens in this practice. We've been heathens. And you walk as a heathen fool. He said, don't pray as the heathens do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Now they think because they speak much, they're heard. Just like Elijah with the prophets of Baal. He said, cry out, pray, pray. Just continue your repetition. He said, I'm going to command your way and I'm going to call him by name. And he's going to do just what I asked him to do. He said, your God hasn't heard you. He must be on vacation. He must be asleep. Well, he's just an ignorant thing. And that's what he is. So don't pray that way. Don't pray with vanity. Don't pray with emptiness. When a man prays, he said, you will know that he's not vain. Why? In the next verse, you will know that a man is not vain. And his prayer is not vain because he will pray in the Father's name. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what ye have need of before you ask him. He knows what you have need of before you ask him. And he says this, after this now, is he wrong? Or was this one that they called Jesus, was he a liar? He said, and after this matter, therefore, pray ye. He said, now you pray this way. To show that there is no vanity in you, you pray this way. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. It's not a vain name. I call upon your name because it's not a vain name. Now the heathens take his name to be vanity. Oh, that's why they pray, oh Lord, help me. We've all prayed that prayer. Oh Lord, I need you. Oh Lord, touch me. Oh Lord. That's not what Messiah said. That's not what he said. To show the strength of your love toward him, you don't pray with vanity. You don't pray without saying that his name is insignificant. It has no value. It is worthless. Why pray to him? I will pray to a myriad of gods and lords. I will just call upon the lords of the heavens. I would just call upon the gods. I'll pray to a myriad of them. Instead of calling on the Pacific one and true one, I'll just pray with a broad prayer. That's what they do today. That's the prayer of all the secular religious teachings today. Lord, we need you. God, we know you're good. God, bless all. We thank you, God. That's how they pray. Messiah, say, after this matter, you pray. You pray. You don't pray like the heathens. They were vain. For they did not know the name of the Father. You cannot take his name in vain. If a man takes the name of Yahweh in vain, says worthless, you're not going to be guilty. Guiltless. He said, you're going to pay for that. You come to the knowledge of my truth and my commandments. You will not be guiltless of that one at all. So you pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed. Your name is very honored. Your name is not worthless, Yahweh. Your name is an honorable name. Your name is an exalted name, so I call on your name, Yahweh. I bless you, Yahweh, in that hope of Messiah, Yahshua the Lamb. So he taught them how to pray. The heathens, they prayed in vain because they did not have a Pacific God to pray to. They prayed to a matriarch of gods. And there were orders of gods that they prayed to, saints. And so Messiah said, you don't pray like them. In the vanity they had incantations. They used enchantments to call upon their gods. He said, you don't pray that way. You acknowledge that Yahweh is the Holy One. He is the Righteous One. And you don't even have to ask him what you need. For he knows what you have need of. Now that's all right by me. I want to know that one that he told me who to pray to. I want to know the one that he said pray to. He did not say pray to me. He said you pray to the Father. He never commanded them to pray to me. He said you pray to the Father. I want to know the Father's name that I'm praying to. I don't want to be praying to just some strange thing. And the more this truth is revealed in the inward parts of my soul, the more engrossed I am to understand the fullness of this mighty King that created all things. I want to know this King, this mighty one, the creator of all things, the universes, the worlds to be. He has created them all. He has created them all. And then he took his living word and he caused it to dwell in a body of clay, and it emphasized his greatness, his power, his might, his honor, and the power of his name. I want to know him. As Brother James reminded us, just like finding that great pearl, that you sell out all your traditions to get to that place, that you may purchase that pearl. You may buy it. So what will I buy? I will buy truth. I won't sell it. I won't sell truth for anything. Buy the truth and sell it not. I'm going to buy the truth your way. Sell me truth.